Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Doc Brown.
Comedian, actor, director, precision driver, owl photographer, hand model, milkman, merc. Doc Brown, welcome to Inside the Comedian. What's your doctorate in, by the way? Can I just ask?
I mean, it's dentistry, but also philosophy. So it's
right,
an interesting
a joint
combination.
Doctorate. Yeah. Those are rare.
Yeah, they are rare. Mm. But at the same time, you know, I would challenge any man or woman to look at those pearly whites and not feel in touch with something way deeper
right.
than just enamel.
Yes, yeah, the gums. Was it sort of dental philosophy or more philosophical dentistry, do you think, that you specialised in?
It was dental philosophy.
Dental philosophy, okay. The philosophy of teeth, yes. No.
That pun didn't go over.
It didn't go over. Okay. Now, you, of course, started out in your career, not as a comedian, but as a child. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it's something that's skated over a lot when I'm
talking
about.
That sounds very traumatic.
Yeah, really, really painful. Mm. And actually, three of these digits are completely false.
Wow.
Yeah, just prosthetic. But in the Wikipedia page, it doesn't mention it. It's as if I just appeared in show business, a fully formed adult. I was a child for nearly 18 years.
Right. Nearly 18 years, quite right. Do you rely on Wikipedia for memory on everything, or do you have your own memories?
I've got a few of my own, but yeah. The 90s, yeah, I mean...
Right.
It didn't help. The 90s didn't help.
So jobs. I mean, every comedian I've met, comedy wasn't their first job. Mm. You know, they started out in something a bit different that sort of built them up to really get some life experience, you know, to really get to know the common man so that they can then manipulate them in a dark room. Mm. So what was your start in life?
Well, I mean, there were so many odd jobs here and there.
Right.
But my first job was in London Zoo.
If you go which into, side of the bars were you?
Well, it was a bit of both, interestingly enough. Because if you go into the amphibian room, it's one
I know
of the
well,
first
yeah.
rooms you come to as you go in. And I showed an interest in the reptile house is what I should call it, not amphibians, the reptile house. And I found an affinity with them quite quickly.
Right.
So I was able to go into the glass cases and feed them without fear of, you know, attack or scaring the creatures.
Right.
And then...
Is that the zoological term, the creatures?
The creatures, yeah.
The creatures, yeah.
And then there was one day where I was working with these
creatures.
Iguanas.
Iguanas,
well, actually, iguanas
oh, wow, okay.
who move very, very slowly, so you need to move slowly so as not to shock them. And I was bending over... Just giving them their bits of food and snacks. And
what
treats.
Do they eat, iguanas? What are they?
It's a real range.
Right.
So there's obviously insects.
Yes.
But also calippos.
Yes, calippos. Yes.
So they're massive.
Yes.
They are massive on.
Right.
But the problem is because you've got to move so slow.
Yeah, the calippo can melt.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Terrible. So I'm moving extremely slowly.
Covered and in trying, dribbling calippo.
Yeah, and the insects are obviously not enjoying the solidifying of the sugar and juice.
Mm.
And what happened was the iguanas moved quicker than they'd ever moved because they suddenly enjoyed this almost like bridge shape that I was creating with my body.
Right.
And the manager at the reptile house said, don't move, because I've never seen Bernie and Hermione, the two of them.
The two iguanas.
I've never seen them happier than they are now.
Right.
So
how can you tell an iguana's happy?
Well, this is the thing. I had no idea. I was essentially a reptilian intern at this point.
Right.
So I had no idea.
And now a human bridge.
Yeah. And so now I'd become this human bridge. And he said, don't move. And of course, I didn't move. I wanted to keep them happy. Bernie especially was very happy. Hermione didn't like that.
Right.
And I stayed. But the manager, Ian, he didn't come back for ages. And I was there.
When you say ages, I mean, how long are we talking?
I mean, initially it was 3.5 hours.
Right.
And then...
I mean, the Calippo would be long gone.
Yeah, the Calippo was gone. Right. This is like a little pool at the bottom there. We're lapping up.
Mm.
I didn't want to shock them, but then I thought, you know, fuck this. So right. I elbowed the little... There's a little hatch thing that you use to get in. No one came. So I just completely came out of the bridge.
Right.
Tried to open it. It'd been locked. So I ended up staying there for about 3 to 4 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nobody opened the hatch in that time?
No. But I was fed in the same way as the iguanas.
Insects.
Yeah, because they're actually...
Calippos. Did you favour the insects or the calippos?
No. If you have both, almost all food groups are represented.
Is that right? Yeah. All food groups?
Yeah.
I mean... All nutrition, maybe, but all food groups?
All food groups. I'm sticking by that.
Fine, yeah. No, you're quite right. You're quite right. I mean, the insects provide protein, and then the Calippo provides fats, carbohydrates, fiber,
yeah,
and all the vitamins.
Mm, and water.
And water. They are disgusting. Very fatty. Very fatty, a Calippo. Well, that sounds like a harrowing experience. I mean, how did you get out?
Through the magic of comedy. So, you know, the more...
It's a Genesis story.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
an origin story.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a superhero thing, because people started coming into
what?
The reptile house.
Oh, sorry.
And obviously expecting to see what you'd expect to see in a glass case of iguanas. You might see a little ceramic structure or a tree, maybe a bonsai, something like that to make them feel big.
Right, not an angry, fully grown man.
Exactly. It was a surprise.
Right.
What do we know about the nature of comedy? If there is an element of surprise or shock, something that people don't expect,
yes,
they often laugh.
Right.
They often laugh. And that first big laugh I got... I thought, hello.
There's something here.
There's something here.
You know, we'll carry on with your career in comedy because that's really why I've got you here. But I think you might have hit on something to save our zoos, because often you look in an enclosure and you go, where's the bloody gibbon gone? I can't see it.
Mm.
You know, or a parakeet, or, you know, the bloody ocelot or whatever it is.
Mm.
And if there was just a person in the corner to look at... Who was sort of looking a bit grumpy?
It's
maybe
more
doing their laundry.
You might think
it would be at least it would be something to look at, you know. And they could be doing an act or something. They could be juggling, or
if they're in with a predator,
that would be fantastic.
It really was like an origin story, and I took that on the road. Didn't work in the first year. I had to develop more.
Right.
From just that bridge position.
Just touring the jonglers of Britain.
In the open spot, you know.
In the open spot.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. You wouldn't do 20 minutes.
No.
Did you take the iguanas with you, or did you try and sort of do those with mime?
Initially, it was very crude drawings that I'd made.
Right. How crude were the drawings?
Pretty crude, because I was thinking, right. Look, this is Jonglers' Friday Night Battersea.
Give them what they want. They want filth. They want filthy iguanas and
so
a human bridge.
I basically accentuated the whole relationship between Bernie and Hermione. I boosted it up to... way more romantic than it ever really was.
You say romantic.
But I mean, you know, even then I thought, stand-up is a contrivance, right?
Right.
So why not embellish the truth?
Right. Life doesn't give you punchlines.
Exactly.
Or material often.
No.
And sometimes you've just got to, you know, you've got to embellish the iguanas.
Exactly. You know, I once saw Russell Howard on an episode of the Jonathan Rush Show
right.
answer a personal question with a piece of material that he'd performed alongside me 5 years earlier that was written by another comedian.
Right.
So I thought, if we're dealing with that level, then I'm going to make two cardboard cutouts fuck each other. And
right. Fair enough.
And actually, I feel vindicated because...
Well, it's worked.
This podcast is a direct descendant of This Is Your Life. It has the same, I think, influence
right.
in the world of entertainment.
Absolutely.
And I'm
it's
here.
It's just as relevant.
I'm here. I didn't pay... I paid a little bit to be here. But
you paid a little bit.
Not as much as, you know...
You were the highest bidder.
Exactly.
So, for the slot. £2.78.
There you go.
And thank you for that. Thank you for that. So that was how you you
got
turned to comedy. What?
Got in the game.
Got
it's
in
another,
the game.
It's a rapper thing. Sorry.
Right. You keep mentioning rapper things.
Yeah.
Are you into those guys?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I've always wanted to be one.
So, right.
Yeah.
What is it about the rappers you like particularly?
I think it's the jauntiness of their hips
right.
is a big thing. They seem to have this rhythm that I'm very...
They're known
very
for their jauntiness, rappers. Isn't
yeah,
they?
I mean,
there's one word that I would use to describe rappers. It's jaunty.
Yeah, they seem to have a lot of success romantically,
right?
And financially, they seem quite solvent. And I've always, you know, I've always admired that, and I've been trying to clap along since the late '80s. Haven't quite.
You made say it, clap made along. It on. Do you mean literally just clap along?
Literally clapping along. I'm just trying to clap.
Do they like that? Do they enjoy that when you clap along?
They don't.
Down the front, clapping along to the rap.
I mean, a lot of people would say, you know, who's that guy
clapping along to
clapping
the rap?
Clapping really enthusiastically, shaking his hips back and forth.
Right, in a jaunty way.
And sometimes it would get unpleasant. But that was largely because I've always struggled to. The majority of the music is in a 4-4 rhythm. One,
right.
two, three, four. And I've always struggled to hit those moments in a clap.
Right.
Which I've found when I'm as close as I am at the gigs, they find quite annoying.
So if you're counting, you're clapping arrhythmically whilst they're doing a 4-4. 4-4 is a tough one, though, isn't it?
It's very tough.
I wish rappers would do more waltzes.
Yeah.
Don't you?
And there's
that'd be nice.
There's no arrhythmically without rhythm. That's what my mum told me.
Right. That's very sweet of her.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian being recorded live, then we have a new monthly show at the King's Place Theatre in London. On Thursday the 14th of March, I'll be interviewing Rufus Hound and Richard Branch. Tickets are available from kingsplace.co.uk.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If we can go back to the comedy briefly from our rap interlude, what would you love to do a routine about? You know, what do you think is an untapped area? What do comedians not make fun of enough?
Well... I mean, for me, it's very difficult because I did the first. My first 10 years were largely. I mean, once I got through the Iguana bit, the remaining sort of 9.5 years, it was largely about being white, and I always got this weird look.
Right.
Whenever I performed that, and I felt I was losing people.
Right. What it's like to be.
What it's like to be white.
To be
and
white.
Just, you know, oh God, I just, you know, I'm just here in the mainstream. No one really questions my race. It's really
right.
difficult.
Yeah.
Reasonably well off, you know, and comedy's largely been built around me and my experiences. Mm. Really struggling with it.
Right.
You know? And I guess. I just wish I could do a bit more about being white and not feel so sidelined, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, but it's like nobody wants to hear it.
Nobody wants to hear
no
it.
No one wants to hear that.
No one wants to hear what it's like for us.
Mm.
And you know, with our
eventually, someone's going to have to speak up.
Well, you're a braver man than I, because I never would. You know, you'd just get your head bloody shot off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I admire your career, but I just don't feel like you've really pushed
I've stayed
that
safe.
Side of... Yeah,
I have
safe.
Stayed safe. I
you could have addressed it.
I could have addressed my race, and I haven't.
And I'd never
I
hear
haven't.
That. I never
no, no,
hear
no.
that. And the weird thing is, I've seen so many Penny shows over the years, and I'm
Thank
thinking,
you.
Here's... Here's three white guys.
Right.
Who never mention.
We never mention.
It's like the elephant in the room.
No. It does make people feel awkward.
And it's
know,
just
when we don't
weird.
Mention it. We
you
don't
know?
Mention it.
Because there's all of us out there
we
thinking.
We don't mention our gender.
Can we
either.
Get some. Can we be ripped? You
right.
know?
Right.
And we get
right.
nothing.
Like, there's a lot of guys out there who wish we'd talk about, you know, penises and things. And,
yeah.
And we never
just,
talk
you don't
about
go
our
there.
Guy stuff.
You don't
we never
go
talk
there.
About. Yeah, I know. It's cowardice, really.
At the same time, you know, I think even. There's an intelligence to what you do, and the fact you don't reference it, you're still there representing that.
I like to
that
think
minority.
So. I like to think so. I like to think so. Well, my dream is that one day there are more white men in comedy. You know, one day.
As King said, it's a dream, isn't it?
Right.
He had
right.
a dream.
That's
one
it.
Day.
One day.
There'd be
more, there'd be more white guys doing jokes. On live at the Apollo. But maybe it's just a dream. I mean, I'm still not entirely convinced white guys are funny. And that's my own self-hatred, you know?
Yeah, no, sure, sure.
Right.
I hear that.
If I may move on, there have been a lot of rumours in the gutter press that you have a rather close relationship with a very famous celebrity. Can I just ask to hear your side of this story? Because...
This always happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but...
What happens?
Can you say their name, just so... I mean, we all want it to be true. We want it to be true.
The thing is, there's... Okay, we've been pitching together
right.
a lot.
Right.
A lot. More than is usual.
Right.
For, you know, two celebrities from different walks of life.
Right.
But I just get sick and tired... of some of the salacious things that are said about us, I think is completely unfair because...
Unfair, but are they untrue?
I mean, for the sake of Michael Burke, I don't want
right.
to...
yeah.
He's a man who...
He really
if
is.
You look at, if you look at his career...
Yes.
He's got a sense of humour about himself. People don't see that side. He's got a softer side.
Really?
Even though, yes, he could be drilling you with questions about... You know, the Suez Crisis.
Mm.
You know, yes, he could be talking about the difficulties between the Flemish and the French in post-war Belgium. Of course he could.
Of course he could, yes.
Of course he could. And he won't stop until he gets answers. But there's a side of that man that is so gentle, so soft.
Which side is
and
that?
And so loving.
Right.
I mean, he has a hatch, right?
What?
Like, he has a hatch.
Does he?
Okay. Yeah, it's, I mean, it was built for guinea pigs. He uses it
right.
for orphaned rabbits.
Right.
Okay, in Aberdeenshire, whose parents have been hit by all sorts of drunk drivers. And this is not a slur at the Scottish.
No, of course. Of course. It's just what
and
happens
this hatch,
to rabbit parents sometimes.
He is extending it and extending it. He's got planning permission for a loft extension to it now.
I mean, that's becoming more than a hatch. I mean, he's an incredibly gentle man. Doesn't it become incredibly heavy?
And because you see me and Michael in Tiger Tiger on Friday night, right. Oh, all of a sudden.
Right. No, I get that. He's a gentle, honest soul who's got a hatch for rabbits.
What's he up to?
I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, people want to know what you guys are up to, really. I mean, how did you even meet?
Well, the friendship began because I had appeared on Newsnight.
Right.
Trying to, you know, basically, as we were talking about before, I was just trying to raise the profile of white middle-class male comedians, right? And
preach.
At the time, it was Paxman.
Right.
He didn't want to hear all that noise.
Of course not.
I came off, got a call from my agent, and she said, there's somebody who'd like a word with you about your appearance. And I said, oh, okay, who's that? And she said, Michael Burke. And I said, the Michael Burke.
Yeah.
And she said, the Michael Burke. Is it okay if I pass him your number? And I said, listen, if it's Burke, then give him my number, give him my direct email, give him the keys to...
to what, your car? Your house?
Well, I knew he was a conservationist.
Right, so, okay.
You know, give him the keys to my garden.
To your garden, right. You have separate garden keys. Yeah. That's very sensible.
He called me and he said, first off,
yeah.
Fuck Paxman.
Right.
That was his opener.
Wow.
That was his opener.
Wow.
Fuck Paxman.
I mean, that is how friendships are born.
Yeah. This guy thinks he's Charlie Big Potatoes, you know.
He does. I've met Paxman, and he genuinely thinks he's Charlie Big Potatoes.
What I didn't realise is
that's
that
how he
Michael,
introduces himself.
Yeah. I didn't realise Michael's nephew had been lambasted
right.
on University Challenge 10 years previous.
So
by Paxman,
they're nemeses
of for taking time on answering a question about the whereabouts of Cleopatra's remains,
right.
Which was a tough one.
That's a tough question,
you know, and. But never let it slide. And there was something about that that pushed him out of even having respect for certain human beings and almost humanity. And that's that's when he developed this affinity with animals.
Right.
But there was something about my grilling from Paxman that also created an affinity. And we stayed close.
Well, that's very sweet.
We stayed close.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What's the darkness in Burke's past then, do you think?
I think it was...
Why does he want to raise all of these rabbits through his enormous hatch?
I don't think you can...
I mean, I think you probably meant hutch, but I...
I might have...
You might have...
I might have meant hutch. I might have meant hutch.
Because a hatch, as I was trying to explain earlier, if you just extended it, it would just become phenomenally heavy until a rabbit has no chance of getting through.
That's very true.
Right.
That's very true.
Right.
What I think you can never underestimate is early recession of the hairline.
Right.
And I think Michael experienced...
Right.
Michael experienced that as a very, very young man.
And so
I mean, he
wanted to save furry things as a result of losing his own.
I mean, that was an offshoot, but
right.
He told me he was around 13 to 14 years old when he began the comb over. And
wow.
There's no way of knowing how much pressure that puts on a human being
or
how
human
much
skull.
Bullying there is on the playground.
No.
You know, if you enjoy sunnier climes, how much difficulty there is there in
right.
terms of protecting the scalp.
Hatch hopping.
It made him a sensitive man.
Comb over kid in school,
man.
Wasn't there? There was
yeah, and that was Burke.
Comb over.
And I think we bonded. Maybe we trauma bonded. Perhaps it was a forehead thing. We both have large foreheads.
Right.
I
wasn't going to say that.
Perhaps it was just that revenge on Paxman. I mean,
right.
they're still warring now. I've not seen Michael for a long time.
Right.
But I know that Paxman recently received some effluence.
Wow. Finally, Doc Brown, how do you think you'll die?
I thought about this a lot.
Right.
I think most likely is going to be a stage-related incident.
Right, because
yeah.
you're on stage so much.
Yes.
And you're so reckless when you're there.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, one thing comics are very concerned about is how much time they spend in cars,
yes.
how much time they spend on planes.
Mm.
and the fact that it's a disproportionate amount of time to the average Joe, normals, as we call them.
Normals.
People outside of show business.
Right. You guys are currently in show business because you're here.
No
But
question.
As soon as you leave, you're outside.
And I think the warmth I got from that comment pretty much sums up.
No,
exactly.
You're right. You're right. Everyone loves you for saying
how correct I was on that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel that they're worrying about the wrong things because they're too quick to get on and off of the stage. Once I'm on stage, I like to be on for a period of 2.5 to 3 hours.
Regardless of what the organisers think.
Absolutely regardless.
Right. You've arrived. You'll be damned if you're leaving.
I've had a lot of these people backstage saying, oh, I've got a wife and kids. I've got another job to do.
Please let me leave.
You know, I'm so sick of that level of moaning when there's real art at work.
Right.
Right. However, I'm also aware that as I lengthen that stage time, more, and it does happen more and more.
Right, yeah. I'm
increasing the risk.
Yes.
Of a rigging collapsing on me.
Right.
A la Curtis Mayfield.
Right, yes.
A heart attack.
Heart attack.
Tommy Cooper. Whatever happened to Sid James?
I think it was a peanut.
You know, a peanut.
I think he swallowed a sudden surprise peanut.
Sometimes I'm on so long, I could have developed an allergy to nuts.
Right.
In that time.
In that time.
So
your body's just like, oh God, shut this thing down.
I feel like I'll die in the moment of entertaining.
Doc Brown, thank you for letting us inside you.
Thank you very much.
Doc Brown.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a review and follow at Inside Comedian on Twitter.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.